Good morning. Happy Sabbath. So there was Titus. And Titus was up on a hill, and as he looks down into the valley and on the city beyond, he just shakes his head. As the city is up in flames, as buildings are crumbling, as he can see the two armies meeting in different alleyways and different places there in that city. If you know history well, biblical history even, you know this is the city of Jerusalem. Titus was there to inflict punishment on the Jewish nation, on Jerusalem, for withstanding the Roman rulership. Interesting thing about that whole destruction of Jerusalem was that not one Christian passed away in the destruction of Jerusalem. And this is with a whole city full of people. How did the Christians get out of being a part of that slaughter, part of that destruction? Just had to make sure don't keep you guys here over lunch, because it's going to get warm out there. And I know some of you brought eggs to fry on your cars outside in that 100-degree weather we're going to have. So there was someone who 40 years prior had told Christians, those who would pay close enough attention, what would happen when Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and what they should do when they saw certain things happen. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been given wisdom or an understanding of something that was kind of something that other people didn't know? What I mean by that is maybe you're sitting there and you're watching the stock market, and someone told you and they said, hey, on July 21, 2021, the stock market's going to drop and it's going to rebound. It's going to go high. But once it goes high, you need to sell everything you have, because after that, it's going to drop off the edge of the cliff. And you're like, oh, okay. So July, what did I say, 21? You're there and you're watching. And it happens. It drops and then it shoots up, and you're like, do I keep riding it? When do I sell? Well, it depends on if you believe the person that told you. 40 years prior. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The neat thing is, and the thing I love about Scripture, is that the one who inspired the writers of Scripture, those that wrote the different books of Scripture, it was given by God for the benefit of you and for me today. Here in Matthew chapter 24, we see Jesus here in Scripture sharing to his followers, to his disciples, something that will benefit them and that will help them in the near future. Right here before Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has just laid a bunch of rebukes at the feet of the rulers of that time, the Pharisees and the rulers. He just laid into them. And after Jesus had shared those thoughts, he's walking out of the temple. And as he's walking out of the temple, that's where we pick up the story here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. It says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Now, I don't know if you appreciate architecture, but the temple in Jerusalem was amazing. And the disciples, rightly so, were proud of it. And as they're leaving the temple, they direct Jesus' attention to the temple and says, man, aren't these buildings amazing? Maybe looking at the different pieces of the architecture. And Jesus says in verse 2, do you see all these things looking there at the temple? He asked, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Now Titus, as he attacked Jerusalem, gave instructions to the legions and to the centurions and said, hey, take care of the temple. Don't destroy the temple. Because he, even though he was there to conquer this people, he did not want to destroy this magnificent building, this beautiful piece of architecture. But though Titus was powerful and commanded 30,000 soldiers there at Jerusalem, someone greater than Titus had spoken that not one stone would be left upon another in that great building. And so as the legions tore through that city, eventually the temple as well got burned and destroyed. Now, for the disciples at this time, when they're sitting there, when Jesus said that, as they're walking out of the temple, and he said, not one stone will be left on another, in their mind, they were like, well, man, that means if the temple's destroyed, like, the whole world has to be destroyed. Because in their mind, and in Jewish society, the temple was like the center of their society. I don't know what the center of our society would be today. So at one point, it would have been the church. I don't know if Starbucks would be the center of our society today. For some people, maybe. But for the Jews, that was the center of their society. And if the temple is destroyed, and we'll see what the disciples say in the next verse, next couple verses. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, so what happened is they went from the Temple Mount, and they went down to the valley and then up onto the Mount of Olives. Hopefully they found a nice tree in the nice warm weather, 100-plus degree weather they were in, maybe. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? See, here in verse 3, they're saying, hey, so when will this happen? When will the destruction of Jerusalem happen? And then they tied it closely with what will happen at the end of the age, in the coming when Jesus was to come. And they asked him this. They correlated the two. And so Jesus replies here in verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. What was Jesus talking about here? Well, I can talk to you about it, and some people will say, well, he was talking to them about the destruction of Jerusalem, the things leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. And were there these things between when Jesus spoke these words in 70 AD when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed? Yes. You can find these things in the book of Acts as Paul comes through Ephesus and some of those cities there along present-day Turkey, and he's gathering funds to take back to Judea, to the people back in Jerusalem because of the famines and the things that were going on at that time in their area. Do you think there were wars in the Roman Empire between when Jesus passed away and 70 AD? Sure. There were many battles and wars and things going on. What about people claiming to be Christ, deceiving many? If you read the history books, you see people rising up and they gather people around them claiming that they have something special to share. Even between when Jesus said his words to 70 AD, that happened. But the neat thing about prophecy, one of the things we've been studying on Wednesday nights at 6:30 here in our fellowship hall, is we've been studying the book of Revelation. Amazing and beautiful book of prophecy. And one of the principles that we've found as we've been going through our study of the book of Revelation is what we see here in Matthew chapter 24 as well. And that is that oftentimes prophecy has a meaning to the people that it was written to at that time, but it also has a meaning prophetically for the future. And in this circumstance, in Matthew 24, and as you read the rest of Matthew 24, you see that it points to not only after Jesus said it, to 70 AD, but also to the end of the time, the end of the age, or when before the coming of Jesus. Now, these things in our world today, are they happening? If you went on your news feed, on either on your phone or you turn on the television, do you see wars or rumors of wars here today in our world? All over the place, right? Depending on whether you go to Central South America or whether you go to Africa or the Middle East. Sometimes you wonder, what's the next thing that's going to happen to have another war happen in our world, right? I've heard people say the history of man is the history of wars, one after the other. What about natural disasters, famines, earthquakes? Do we have anything like that happening in our world today? Well, just head south and check out the reservoir levels in California and the places that feed California with water. You can see some experiences there of famine and of what he's talking about here. But it says, do not be alarmed, for these are the beginning of birth pains. Here in Scripture, this prophecy was specifically for those Christians at the time of Jesus who would be alive in 70 AD when Jerusalem would be surrounded, and they needed to know this truth, what was going on here. Jesus did not want to leave his followers, his disciples, without knowing what was going on in their world today. So look with me in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 24. In verse 15 it says, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the rooftop of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be to those in those days for pregnant women and for nursing mothers. So the story goes here in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is sharing with his disciples what will happen in the moments before Jerusalem will be taken. And if you look in all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, three of the Gospels have this story that Jesus told his disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not share this section of Scripture. But if you look at Luke chapter 21, verse 20, it talks about how Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. And then miraculously, they back off. Prior to Titus showing up on the scene here in Jerusalem, in the story that I share with you, another general had showed up and he had attacked Jerusalem. And the Jews were about to say, hey, we're done. We can't take anymore. When for no reason at all, the general and his army pack their bags up and start heading to the coast. And the leadership there in Jerusalem said, oh, perfect. Let's attack them. Let's chase them down. And so they did. The gates of Jerusalem opened, and the armies there in Jerusalem chased after that general and killed about 6,000 of those Roman soldiers. The neat thing is that if you were a disciple of Jesus and you had remembered what he said some 40 years prior to this, that Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies, and then taking their opportunity, they took the opportunity and left Jerusalem so that they would not suffer with those, when Titus showed up, would suffer the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple and everything else. On Wednesday nights at 6:30, we've been studying the book of Revelation. Anyone's welcome to join us. We have handouts for different things, and we're going chapter by chapter through the book of Revelation. If I asked you what your opinion of Revelation would be, what would you tell me? If I said, when you hear the book Revelation, what is your response? I asked this question to our Wednesday night group, and I got several different replies. Some said, oh, scary book. Scary book. I've asked other people at different times when I've done this study, and some say, well, man, Book of Revelation, confusing? I don't know. I don't understand. One of the principles that we've learned as we've been studying the Book of Revelation, and that we're going to continue to use as we go through Revelation, is that oftentimes prophecies that are given to us by God for specific purposes are not understood super well until after they happen or when they happen. Because I can almost guarantee you the Christians at the time when Jerusalem was being attacked by that first general, they might not have said, you know, do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? I'm not sure they had that exact way of going about it. But you know what? When what happened happened, when the gates were opened, do you think that they went back to their housetop? It says, do not flee to your house. If you're on the roof, do not flee down to your house to get anything. Do you think that they took the time, if they were in the field in Western Jerusalem, you know, trying to get some stuff out of one of those fields within the walls, do you think they ran back to their house to get their overcoat before they got out of there? Not if they were following what Jesus said, right? This is one of the main points that I just want to share and I want to get across today, is that you and I, if we spend our time in Scripture, we spend our time in what Jesus, what God has shared with you and with me in Scripture, we can understand things that others around us don't understand. We can have a clarity of thought and a clarity of mind that in certain times and in certain circumstances, God has called us to do something. The prophecies of the Book of Revelation that we're studying on Wednesday nights at 6:30 were not given to us to just be super confusing, to be something that we, you know, we'll just leave that to the pastors and the theologians at the seminary, because, you know, we pay them to know about those things and to learn about those things. These things weren't given to pastors. Hi, my name's Ryan. I happen to be a pastor. And it was given to each one of us to have a clear picture of what's going on in our world today, so that just like, maybe not exactly like I don't think Vancouver's going to be surrounded and then the army's going to be pulled back. But in Revelation, there are phrases and themes that are rampant in our world today. As it talks about how the devil has been set free to do amazingly horrible things in our world today. The Christians in the time of the destruction of Jerusalem saw clearly what Jesus was talking about, because they remembered it, because they were studying it, because they were talking about it and they were involved in it. But as you and I think about how this applies to our life today, if you and I choose to not open Scripture, to not look at the truths and the prophecies and the things that God wants us to know, stuff's going to happen and the light bulb will just stay off. But if we've been in the Scriptures, if we've been going through the prophecies of what Jesus has told us, we will be like those Christians in 70 AD-ish, and we will see what God has told us, and we will act accordingly, how he guides and leads us. Now, the neat thing about Matthew 24 here is that Jesus, when he told Matthew 24, he wasn't just talking about that time long ago. But if you look at verses 29 to 31 here in Matthew 24, you see that Jesus was also talking about a future time, the time that we're living in, the end of time, before when Jesus was to come. In Matthew 24, 29, says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Again, prophecy in Scripture. It was spoken to those people at that time, but as you can see here, Jesus was specifically talking about not that time, long, long ago, but about our day today, about what's happening today. So oftentimes, like I said, the book of Revelation can be one of those books that people are like, oh, you know, I'm going to go read John. John wrote both books, so, you know, John's better. But I think one of the reasons that John left out this particular story here in Matthew 24 of Jesus talking about the end of the world, the end of the age, was because John also wrote a different book, the book of Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. If you have an older Bible and you open it up, some people have a title there that says, The Revelation of John. Because John was the one who was given this revelation by Jesus. But the first few words, the first five words of the book of Revelation tell us what Revelation is about. It's not the revelation of John, but it's the revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So I was in a seminary class once, and I should have known it was a Revelation seminary class. And the professor stands up and he looks out and he says, okay, how many gospels are in there in Scripture? And I don't think I raised my hand, because if they ask questions in a seminary class, they usually know the answer and they're usually looking for a certain answer, and I never like to be wrong. But he got answers, right? He got four. There's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's like, I would put to you that there are five gospels. What is a gospel? A gospel is something that shares the good news, right? The good news about someone specific, right? The good news about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a revelation of who? Jesus Christ. And if you love the gospels, if you love who Jesus is and understanding him better, I would challenge you to turn to the book of Revelation and spend a little time there. Create a small group where you guys can dive into the Revelation and study it together. There are some parts where I would encourage you just to say, you know what? I'm going to read it, and I'm going to wait till it actually happens so that I can interpret this. But I would encourage you to turn to the book of Revelation and see the prophecies that God has given to you and to me, so that when things come down the pipeline of our lives, that we can have confidence that we know God and we can see those things that others might not see. So the first few verses of Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then the next few words tell us the purpose of Revelation, which God gave to show his servants, which I hope you claim to be a servant of Jesus Christ today, which God gave his servants to show what must soon take place. Now, if you say, well, what must soon take place? Well, soon for John is different than soon for God. And we can talk about some of those places in Scripture where God talks about how a day for him is a little bit longer than a day for us. But this soon, I believe, as I watch the world around me, is coming faster and faster. You couldn't have told me a year and a half ago that things would move as fast as they did in our world today, even with, you know, someone studying the history books of how things work in our world. I wouldn't have told my wife, Bridget, who was out welcoming you today here at our church, that we couldn't have taken our trip to Norway. So apologize to her as you go out today. I don't think she's listening to me. Apologize and say, I'm so sorry you didn't get to go to Norway, and see what she says to you. I might not be able to eat lunch if you actually do that. But. No, but like the world closed down, right? The world closed down, and I believe that the closer we get to Jesus' coming, we're going to see things move super rapidly, where I hope that you and I are grounded in God's Word and in Jesus Christ, where no matter what comes, we can be like the Christians back in Jerusalem. Now, the challenge is that it's not going to be easy, right? God didn't promise us that life would be easy. The Christians, when they had to leave everything that they had there in Jerusalem, if they had built up businesses, if they'd done everything that they needed to do, and they just got out, right? Because they were like, well, Jesus said, I'm going to do it. They left it all behind. And it wasn't easy, as they couldn't take, you know, their big pouches of money out of Jerusalem to take care of their next couple years. But they had something. They had confidence that their Savior, Jesus Christ, knew what was coming. Knew what was coming and wanted to give them a roadmap, maybe not as detailed as they wanted it, maybe not as clear as they wanted it at every point, but wanted to give them a roadmap so that they could have confidence not only in what to do next, sometimes, but most importantly, to have confidence in a God who cared enough about them to give them some instructions and some guides and some directions in their lives. The more and more time you and I spend in God's Word, the more and more you'll see that God has something to say to you in your life today. You're going to see that God reaches into your world and says, like this morning, I was really tempted to go and look through my sermon notes and make sure that I was going to say the same thing in first service and in second service. Doesn't always happen. You can ask Mr. Oliver here as he was sitting in the front row in first service. But I was tempted to do that, right? Because, you know, pastors don't do a lot on the day that they preach and stuff like that, right? Some people say that, my friends joke with me that I work one day a week, right? But I was tempted to just skip that to focus on what I needed to do today. But I said, you know what? I'm going to be preaching on encouraging people to get into God's Word. I need to get in God's Word as well. So I opened up 1 John chapter 3. And what I experienced was God just reaching into my life and just quieting my heart. I don't know if you've experienced that, where maybe you got some news of something and, oh, they're all right. Oh. But that's kind of what I felt this morning as I read, again, nothing particular in 1 John chapter 3 that I can tell you right now, but I felt this presence, right? This peace as I chose to spend time with Jesus this morning. And I don't experience that every time I open God's Word. But I believe that the more and more we come in contact with our Savior, that's the experience He wants to give us, where we're coming in contact with Him and getting closer and deeper with Him. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1 of Revelation. It says, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near." This is written to you and is written to me. I pray that today, tomorrow, every day that God gives us breath, that we will spend time in His Word, that we'll spend time getting to know the God who in the past took care of those disciples, those followers of Him, those servants of Him, in certain circumstances, and that, you know, you read the Bible, He's promised so many things that He wants to take care of you and take care of me today, tomorrow, and every day until He comes soon. And if you read the last half of the book of Revelation, the majority of it is talking about what God has planned for you and for me after sin is taken care of. So, today, tomorrow, every opportunity you have, get into God's Word. Find out what the prophecies are saying to your life and to my life today. Find out what promises He wants to encourage and support you in your life today and tomorrow and every day. And like the Christians that left Jerusalem with nothing, but with confidence in their God and in their Savior, you can have the same thing. You can have confidence and peace that you have a God who loves you, cares about you, and wants to journey with you every step of the way. Let me say a prayer for you today. Father God, I thank You and I praise You for who You are. As we read Scripture, we can be encouraged by what You've done in the past and what You are going to be doing every step of the way into the future. Thank You for Revelation and how You want to open our eyes and our hearts to what's happening in our world today. God, come into our hearts and our lives, and may we spend more and more time with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that God will touch you in your heart as you open his word, as you open the prophecies and see what he has to tell you. And you're also welcome, 6:30 Wednesday nights, or get a group together and just study God's word. As you do that, God will lead you step by step. Have a great Sabbath.